So one of the things, let's pray. Father, we do, we thank you that you have not left us here as orphans. Lord, but you're here right now in our midst and you want to speak. So Lord, help us to have ears to hear what you have to say to us. But more importantly, Lord, help our wills to be ready to receive from you. That we would receive your word with meekness. I pray, Father, that you would just open up our hearts that we can see the beauty of who you are. So that when we leave here, Lord, we don't know more about you, but we know you more clearly, so that we may make you known. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, did a little more studying this week. We're not going any further this week, but I want to share a few things because I feel like that's a little laid on my heart, so that's what I'm going to do. We're going to be in Thessalonians 1. We're just going to look at the first, really, verses 3 and 4 again. But as usual, I have 50 things going through my mind and don't know where to start. 1 John 3, you don't have to turn there, says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." One of the things the Lord was just laying on my heart this week, and that's a simple fact, as children of God, none of us have seen God yet, but yet we know that somehow the Lord is trying to do a work that when people see us, they see Christ. Right? So, that they're, his desire is to make himself known. And so the way he's chosen to do that, and that's what we talked about last week, God's election, his choice, his prescribed way. Chris was sharing earlier about the battles between churches and things like that. This word election has brought many battles within the body of Christ because it's the wrong battle. Because they're trying to answer the wrong questions. Or they just don't see the beauty of who God is. And I just don't understand it. There's a simplicity in Christ. Paul said in Corinthians that if anything that is not of simplicity is of... anybody know?
Sin.
The devil. So if it's not simple, we're not seeing it correctly. And ultimately, I believe from First John's teaching is that ultimately our end goal is that we're going to be like Christ. Not going to be Christ, right? When the flesh is removed, right? He's going to transform us into his image. And I think a lot of us probably sitting there saying, what is that exactly? I don't know. I guess we're going to find out when we get there. Because when we see him, then we'll know him as he is. But as we're here, the Lord wants us to know him. I talked about last week, and I keep bringing it up, and one of the things I really need to, I think, maybe make clearer is... when I talk about not interacting with God about sin, so let me just start over. God's election. When Paul said here. year. We give thanks to God always for you all. I always want to say if y'all. Don't know why. Just making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. It's God's election. We talked about what that simply means. It's God's divine choice. Ultimately, is what this means. With God's foreknowledge of everything that's ever going to happen. Right? He made a choice. And he says salvation is going to come by one way. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? There is no other way. It's his way. He's dealt with sin. If you read the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, I think it's beautiful. The word sin is only mentioned one time. And it's talking about unbelievers. And the reason why I'm trying to get to a point where we start looking at our relationship with God and our interactions with God not based on my imperfections, not on my failures, but understanding who He is, that He's provided the way. I share these things because I know from experience, and I'm sure you do as well, that when I interact with just people, right? Not just leave God out of it for a second. When I interact with people, when I fall short of everything I think I should be in a relationship, does that not hinder the next time I have access? Or try to hinder? When I fall short, or I sin against someone, or talk about them, when I come in contact with them, am I comfortable and do I really want that availability, that oneness? Am I looking for that, or do I hide away? Do I steer clear? Do I stay away? How many people walk up and slap somebody and next time go up and tell them to give them a hug? Okay. So our sin, in many cases, keeps us and hinders us from entering into access. Right? Do you understand? Because just if I have an issue with someone and I don't feel like I'm approved by them or I don't feel like I'm accepted by them, I'm going to have a hard time interacting with unity with them. Right? So does not God want us to interact with unity, understand our acceptance and our access? Yes? No? Isn't that what God wants us to understand? Now, Old Testament, they tried to do it through the law. Right? That's not going to work. What we're going to find out in our lives, if I ever base anything interaction with my Father in heaven, I'm not going to come if I don't see myself accepted and approved. And I'm not going to come when I'm looking at my sin. When I'm focused on me. So God's choice is that His Son would complete the work that took away access, which is sin. Right? Is that Adam's sin? They lost access. You see, so when Jesus went to the cross, what did He do? What happened with sin? Cover? What did Jesus say? Very end. It is finished. You see, there is not one thing. Let me word this right. Jesus dealt for sin for all time, for all humanity, for all kind. Can anybody tell me Does anybody go to heaven or hell based on sin? What allows... It's a question. Is there anywhere, any sin that can get you, keep you from heaven or send you to hell?
Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit can send you to hell, and rejecting the Son of God and what He did to restore access to the Father, and by receiving the gift that Christ has given us, is the only way to enter into the Father's presence.
So how do we enter?
Only by blood.
Okay. But what does that access get here?
Well, I think the one thing that will ensure that you do not go to heaven is if you reject Christ, period.
Okay.
That's really, if you want to shake it all down, if you reject His gift...
I'm going to shake it down even further than that. But if you're right, rejection.
If you reject Him, then that's going to steal your day.
Yes. Turn to Matthew 7, please. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. What keeps a person out of heaven? So, not knowing comes from rejection. All these others are a symptom of the simplicity that God's saying to us is, know me. Call out to me, and I'll know you. Right? It's not sin. It's knowing Him. 1 John 3. When we see Him, we'll be like Him and we will know Him as He is. So it doesn't seem to me like when everybody asks, when you go to the golden pearly gates, when it's asked to you, how do you get in? It's not, well, I've done this, I've done that. It's, I've known you and you know me. So it's a relationship. It's an opportunity. This is God's choice. This is His divine choice that He chose to take away sin so that I can relate to Him as a son or daughter, a child. That's why the scriptures say come to Him as a little child with childlike faith. And I'm willing to receive. You see, because now it's not based on what I do or don't do. It's all based on Christ and what He's done for me that opened up the door so I can walk through. That's what I understand the scriptures to say to me. I have full access anytime and to the throne room of grace that I might obtain mercy and grace in my time of need. Which is always when I receive it. But I have a need. You see, it's knowing Him, and ultimately Him knowing you. Right? Yes?
So a good parallel, I think, or actually it might take a long time, maybe not, is, you know, we get into this argument about election and predestination and all that kind of nonsense, or whatever it is. But a really good point is, who is the chosen people? Chosen people, do they all make it? Do they all get saved? And what was the differentiating factor? You know? So the chosen people were the Jews. same word. Chosen.
See, that's why.
Chosen and election is the same word.
Correct. But that's why when I looked at this, I want to go back to God's ultimate choice and see what that means, which will be God's ultimate choice is that all men everywhere would be saved.
That's why he can die for the whole world.
Yes. That's why he can die for sin completely. Correct. That's how I see Scripture. I'm not going to argue with that. I'm going to go and proclaim it because I find assurance in my salvation in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And him calling me to himself that I can know him. And as I see him, I should see his love, his goodness, his kindness, and his heart for me to walk in and revealing himself to me continually. If I try to interact with God based on me, I'm going to be like Adam hiding behind the tree, saying, I'm naked. Now, I also want to explain to everyone that I am not saying I don't sin. See, there's a... Huh? I figured I didn't have to... But I want to make sure you understand my mindset, because when I say God doesn't want you to be considering sin as your access or your life and coming unto Him or keeping you, what I mean is even within knowing the depths of my sin should draw me even more when I understand the openness that He has for me. That I can see the beauty of who He is and the love He has and the care He takes for us. I care for you. We see Paul constantly saying here, I write this because I care for you. Well, do you think that's Paul or it is Paul converted? But don't you believe that that's God working in Paul that gives him a heart for them to minister to him, to give them admonitions, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to build them up? And nowhere does he say, you're a bunch of sinners and you're lucky that God's grace. He says he loves you and he's called you and he's drawing you and he wants to give you life and that more abundantly. But I need to see myself as a child of God that has full access to grace and mercy. Otherwise, I'm going to stand back and hide my face. And I'm going to give an example. And this, the Lord showed me this morning. I've always had a hard time when I did bad in sports. You felt like you failed. Whether you won or lost, you knew how you played. And a lot of times when I knew I didn't do well, my dad and I didn't talk until I played again. And I used to be very angry. And then I started thinking about this. And I was thinking about how the Lord said to me this morning, there were no conversations. When did you go talk to him? He's your dad. You had access. When did you say, what could I have done better? When did you go, I didn't, because I knew I didn't feel like I had approval. Was that true? I'll never know, because I didn't go. But I'm assuming, because any time I went to my dad and said, want to play ball? What am I doing wrong? He's like, here, let me help you. I'm hoping it deals with some anger I've had. I'm hoping, and this is not anything, it's just how I feel. I'm not saying it's true. But I know that's how we interact with one another. I feel, at least for me, that when I don't feel like I'm doing well enough to meet up to someone's expectations, I usually tend not to want to be around them. Or when I know I'm living in areas where I shouldn't be. You see, these are choices that we make. And one of the choices we can have to make that the Thessalonians made was they received God's word from Paul and took it to themselves as their own. And that's what the Lord really wants us to do, is say, I'm speaking to you. I'm trying to open up your understanding. Stop with sin. I remember it no more, is what he says, right? He chooses to remember it no more. So he says, come. Because what kept us out before is our imperfection. And Jesus dealt with it. Because he's perfect and Christ is in you, you have access, and we're one with the Father. We have the freedom to come and receive. Now, guess what? To come, there needs to be humility. Why? Because I'm not going to go to the throne of grace in time of need for grace and mercy in time of need if I don't see my need. And if I don't see a need, I'm in pride. If I don't respond, I'm in pride. That's why Peter says, receive with meekness the implanted word of God, which they will save your souls. You see, it's taking that authority that God's given you and surrender to him with meekness and say thank you and just receive. You see, God has put us here to be receivers and conduits. I receive from the Lord, that's which I also deliver. That's all you can do. From knowing him, and the reality is, if you understand that you're approved and you're loved, it's easier to speak. Because you're getting ready to find out that as you speak in the things each one of us all believe individually, we'll take you on a walk with the Lord that will kind of separate you because he's moving you on to where he wants you to be. But in the same time, there's unity. That each and every one of his, Jesus' brothers looked at him and said, you're mad. Right? Come home. You know, try to talk him back. All you see here, these letters from Paul, keep going. Keep living what you're doing. Keep trusting the Lord. Keep following after him. Believe on your salvation. Enjoy it. And go share it. Because Paul is not dealing with sin. He's dealing with faith. Because faith is the only thing that can please God. So I don't. Doesn't matter about my sin if I'm not walking by faith. What difference does it matter? Ultimately, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So, Lord, build my faith. One of the only ways I'm build my faith is I understand how much bigger he is and how loving he is. Because it says it's his loving kindness that draws him. And it's his goodness that leads us to repentance. And repentance means to change the way you think. Emotions can come with that. They don't have to. They can. You might want to tear your clothes and sackcloth and ashes. Fine. But if your mind hasn't changed, it really don't matter. That would be world. That's the difference between godly sorrow, worldly sorrow. But when his word comes, if I can receive it and allow him to do his work in me and draw me to himself and show me the simplicity that he had, that's there. It's just an intimate relationship with one another, with the Father. You know, Jesus is in each one of us, so he should be able to speak to us through each of us. And we should have ears to hear, and then we'd be willing to receive. We're like a Berean, take it and study it out and see if it's true. I don't want you to take anything I'm saying, go to the Word and see. And where I'm wrong, please tell me. I don't want to mislead. I don't want to be misled. I want to just walk in simplicity with the Lord, trust in him that he's going to complete the work he's begun. When I get involved, I get in the way. So, any thoughts?
Well, I'm
reading. No thoughts?
I was just going to share the footnotes to the word called. Leads me to Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as elect God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And that goes on and on and on, which is good too. Let the word Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I like Chuck.
Yep. And Paul, you'll see here, as you go through and read Thessalonians each time, like there's a part where the Father instructs the Son that he know how to knowing, let's see, comforted and charged in every one of you as a father does his own children. You know, it's just a constant encouragement.
And thanks for sharing about your dad, because I think probably we can all relate to dad, to mother, to spouse, you know, like we don't know unless we do act. And when we let, I say, the enemy keep us from having that conversation because of pride, because of fear, because of falling short in our own minds, and the stories that we make and believe that somebody else is thinking that thing against us, mm-hmm. and the story that we tell ourselves against ourselves, you know, vice versa, I think it's always good to be brought in the light to allow truth to come out and healing if there needs to be, or, you know, whatever's going to...
I really liked that you shared that story too, because totally everybody, I think, can relate to that. We all... You know, how we relate to other people, even as Christians, how we relate to people at times. We do the same thing. We withhold our approval. We reject them because of because performance or something that we think that they should have done differently, or we, you know, and you really have to catch yourself. But people that don't have the Lord, don't have the love of God, if you were raised by parents who didn't exhibit that or didn't know God Himself, that's exactly how they dealt with you on a performance acceptance basis. And, you know, and so it's really a cautionary tale to say, hey, when I feel like, I didn't like that performance of my child, my grandchild, whatever, you know, it's really a cautionary tale to remember how God was so loving and considerate and open to you coming, and He doesn't reject you.
Well, and like for me, just with that as a just small side, my dad loved basketball, and he wanted me to enjoy the things he enjoyed. So it's the same thing as our Heavenly Father. He wants us to enjoy these things, but He knows how to do it better than we ever could. And then we get out there and we start failing or doing well or doing whatever, and then we start basing our own self how we feel, and then we allow our access based on how we feel rather than communicating. And we all want approval, right? We all want to be understood. Well, there's not one person in this room that's going to give you any of that. Except and that's Jesus Himself.
Corrupted. Our minds are corrupted.
Yeah.
We have fallen. We are
right.
Corrupted. And it is a mind change. We need to grasp.
Right. And there's so much of this world and understanding and eyes that we see through that need to be ripped from our lives. And that's why we need to be renewed in our mind. That's why we need to be drawn to the Lord. And we need to get rid of these things. But one of the words I want to try to get you to get rid of is, Lord, I'm sorry I sinned today. Instead of saying, Father, thank you for opening up an access that I can come that I might not sin again. You see, we come to Him for the answer and for the hope, not for the rejection and despair. I mean, that's the only reason to come to Him. So, I don't know if when I read last week verse 3, if it stood out as much as it stands out to me, and I hope you can understand this again. I want to read it again, because what Paul says is really neat here. And, well, we'll read verse 2 and 3. It says, remembering with giving thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in my prayers, I'm going to read this the way it could be read, not the way it's written, and it's the same in English, unless I misunderstand English, which does happen a lot. So, it says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. Remembering without ceasing your labor of love in our Lord Jesus in the sight of God our Father. Remembering without ceasing your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus in sight of the Father. Of God our Father. So, like, here, there, if you look at it in here, there's three parentheses, but, or, what are they called? Sorry. Yeah, English. And I think it takes away the impact by throwing them all together. Do you see all three things, how they're walking in, what they're walking in? Everything's in the Lord Jesus in sight of the Father. Right? They've come to a place in their life where they understand nothing's naked and everything's, or nothing's hidden and everything is naked and open in the sight of God our Father. It's beautiful because, well, if I can come to understand that the Lord, my Father, is looking down on me and He wants to lead me and He wants to guide me. And the way He's leading me and guiding me is to say, put your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. You see, it all comes back to your whole walk is set your eyes on Jesus. It's in the Lord Jesus with the understanding that the Father is looking down. And it's all His choice. He chose us to shower His love down, to be looking, to not be a non-existent God. He chose to enter in, to be part, and want us to be part of His life and our lives. And He's saying, "That's keep that in mind. That the Lord's looking down and He wants you to keep His eyes on Jesus. Because He laid down His life. And why? Because these are the things the Father chose. These steps that Jesus walked out willingly. These weren't things like, oh man, they blew it. Now we've got to come up with plan B. The scriptures say before the foundation of the world, Jesus was slain. It is already in the Father's heart and already with pre-knowledge, all these other things, He already knew He was going to have to have His Son lay down His life for us so that we can enjoy fellowship with Him. It's our only hope. That's why we are patients of our hope in the Lord Jesus. My hope is only in Jesus. And whether I can come to a place and I understand this, that it's free and open for me. It's free and open to whoever will receive. The access is there. I don't know exactly where it is. Paul says one place. The only thing that hinders any of us is our infections. We call them our own affections. God doesn't hinder us. It's our own affections. It slides to the side, to the left, to the right, so that we can stay focused and not stay focused. Any thoughts? I know if you were here, sorry, but I think that it's important to understand, at least understand one of the other things my dad taught me, and this might sound dumb. He said, it doesn't matter if you... A basketball, if you put the ball where there's an opening and the guy should have called it, he says you need to know the strengths and weaknesses of everybody you play with. Because it doesn't matter if it was a good pass and he can't catch it. So he said, sometimes you just got to throw it at their face. They'll catch it. Because it's more out of instinct. And sometimes we just need to hear the truth right in our face so that we can accept it. It's not a bad truth. It's a simple truth. It's not I, but Christ. It's all the same things Paul teaches in Philippians. It's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. You see, when the Lord opens you up to receive, He can speak to you. And He does. And it comes through His Word. All these truths are in His Word. The simplicity of walking in love, knowing Him, He reveals Himself to us. Maybe not specifically, but you have your own examples that if you look back on your life, you'll see how God is working. And we can use those as our examples, we can use His Word as our examples, and we can encourage one another. All you're going to do as we continue through this book is see Paul encouraging to continue in your faith. Don't let the attacks against you, don't let the trials, don't let the persecution, don't let your own interest, don't let anything get in the way of you going after Jesus and running hard after Him. Running quickly. That's all I have. Any thoughts? Any clarification? Hope y'all like getting hit in the face. Because if you don't, you got a big bunch of lines going across.
The only thing I would say, I'm glad you like to play basketball other than golf, because that might have really been the ruination
of
you
and that. We play once a year together. Yeah. But it's something the Lord had to reveal to me. And then I can choose to repent and change the way I feel about it and think about it and receive what the Lord showed me and say, sorry, Dad. And I can't do anything about it. I can't make it right. But I can move forward and see the beauty of Christ. So, anyway, you want to pray? All right. Father, we thank You that You don't make it too difficult for us. Lord, help us to stop making it difficult on ourselves. Lord, we know that the way is narrow. And once we're through that door, it's a wide open gate to run to You. So give us feet to run and a heart to even desire You more. And Lord, we know that if we delight ourselves in You, that You will give us the desires of our heart. And I want our desires to meet Yours, Lord. So we want to see more Jesus. We just thank You for this day, and we love You. In Jesus' name, amen.